Hello, all, and welcome to another episode of The Unknown and Unexplained. I am the original Dansky, and let's not even wait, let's get right into it. Today we're talking about the mysterious disappearance of the three lighthouse keepers on Eileen Moor in the Flannan Isles off the coast of Scotland. Okay, so let's just dive right in. On the 15th of December, 1900, a American vessel, the SS Arstor, went past Eileen Moor when they realized that the light was not working. The light was off. The light was dark. So, when they docked on the 18th at their port, they alerted the Northern Lighthouse Board. Now, the Northern Lighthouse Board is the organization that runs all the lighthouses in England, Ireland, Scotland. And the way it's set up is basically all the merchant shipping, all the shipping companies pay a certain amount set by the Northern Lighthouse Board to operate them. That's where the funding gets is gotten from. And basically what happens is they are paying for their safety to be taken care of by the Northern Lighthouse Board, by these lighthouses. And it's doing something called standing the light. When someone is standing the light, it means that one man must be with the light at all times, all night, awake the entire time. One guy's got to be on duty at all times to make sure the light never goes out. Now, if the light goes out, basically your career as a lighthouse keeper, it's over. It's never coming back. You're done. Pack your bags, hop on the next ship, and get out of here. But unfortunately for the three lighthouse keepers on Eileen Moor, there was not going to be any leaving from that island. So, Joseph Moore, who is actually the last guy to even see these three guys alive, was the one that was dispatched to go see exactly what was going on. So, they get on this ship, the relief vessel called the Hesperus. Oh, sorry. Huh. Wow. The Hesperus. And on, now the weather was terrible. They were supposed to leave the 20th of December, but because the weather was so bad, they couldn't leave till the 26th. So these guys, the lighthouse was intended to, and these three guys, no one really knew what was going on over there. The lighthouse keepers, James Duckett, who was 43, 22 years of service. He was the principal, which means he was the guy running the show. He had never worked a lighthouse so remote, and I'm going to tell you how remote this place is in just a second. Next, we got Thomas Marshall, 40 years old. He's a big guy, 6 feet tall. He's a bachelor, 5 years of service, so he's not new to this. He's not Duckett. He doesn't have 20-plus years of service, but he's been doing this for a while. Next, we have 28-year-old Donald MacArthur, who is actually an occasional keeper. Now, what an occasional keeper is the guy that comes in and fills in for someone who, say, is sick or injured and unable to, what we call, stand the light. So they bring in this guy, Donald MacArthur, whose main job is to fill in for that guy until the next guy can come in. In this case, Donald MacArthur is covering for William Ross. That's who was supposed to be there, but due to an illness, he fell ill and was not able to stand the light. So they called Donald MacArthur. And how it would work is these guys would live in the coastal area of the lighthouse. And if something went down, they were like the Minutemen. You call them up, hey, we need you out here. He would drop everything, go out there. Now, Donald MacArthur had a family. He had a he was a family man. He was a farmer. He was also an army veteran. And something that we start to see in the lifestyle as I start to tell you about this particular lighthouse and its location in the Outer Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland in the middle of the, you know, out there in the North Atlantic, you start to see that being a lighthouse keeper isn't really just sitting in a nifty building on a coastal beach, making sure that the light stays plugged into the wall. It's a whole lot more complicated than that. You would have to really think of it as a military assignment, because you would be dispatched to different lighthouses and then you would pretty much deploy to that lighthouse. And if you had a principal who was a real tyrant and just a real, I'm trying to use no profane way of putting this, but basically put a real pain in the ass that had it out for you, you can't just pack up your gear and leave. You're on deployment for 4 weeks. And if you're in a place like Eileen Moore, you might be there longer if there's adverse weather and it's, you know, crazy storms of the North Atlantic prevent your relief ship from coming and getting you and putting the new people up there. You are really cut off. Now, Eileen Moore already has a weird history behind it. Before it was ever used by the Northern Lighthouse Board, it was used as a place where the locals would graze their sheep. But they were so spooked out by this island, its background, they wouldn't stay there overnight, so they just grazed during the day. Now, this place was also used as a religious retreat for a monk, Saint Flannan, which is where we get the name the Flannan Isles, of which Eileen Moore is the largest one in that chain of islands. And it's the last chain of islands in the British Isles. So it's way out there in the North Atlantic. It's the last jagged piece of rock before you run into nothing but the Atlantic Ocean. And then you're going to Greenland or America, wherever you decide to fly, or in this case, sail. So another weird thing is there used to be a group of people that lived on the island called the Little People. Now, people say it was a group of people from either Finland or Ireland. A lot of them say Ireland because Finland is so far away that it most likely was the Irish. Oh, excuse me. To get a drink of water here. And this is where we get the idea of leprechauns. You know, this isn't where the whole idea came from, but it definitely propagated it. And apparently these little people clashed often with the Christians, and they never gave up the island. They actually eventually all died out, and that it's only then that the island really gets turned over more of the Christian era. Everything starts becoming more Christian. So, coming back, this island, this is not the kind of island you row up to in a boat and like pull your boat ashore and walk up this grassy knoll to this nice white tower with a light on it. This thing is a jagged piece of rock sticking out of crazy North Atlantic seas, the North Sea's crazy weather, insane amount of mist, waves crashing, into these jagged rocks with a 200-foot cliff face. So, I already don't even know how these people got on the island. When the lighthouse board actually put the lighthouse there, they had to cut the stairs into the stone, into the rock face. I can't really even imagine how hard that job was. That's insane. That's a rough job. And, of course, when they built it, it was built by the Stevenson's family. They were the ones that threw down the money to have it built. They were actually related to Robert Louis Stevenson, the author. But it came in so over budget that the Northern Lighthouse Board didn't want to pay for it. That's really not a surprise. So fast forward. The light's been out since, they know it's been out since December 15th. They know it's definitely been out since December 15th, 1900, when the Ars Tor went by Eileen Moore and saw the light was down. December 26th, Joseph Moore takes the Hesperus over to Eileen Moore. They get over there. They're blasting the horn. Nothing. They send up rockets. Nothing. So Joseph Moore gets on a boat and goes over there. No one there to greet him. Nothing. He goes up the landing, and there was no flag. There was, you know, there had been stuff left on the landing. Like, hey, I'm going to put this down. I'll be right back. Like, they were in the middle of doing stuff. Like, there was stuff there on the landing that was just left. And there was no one there. And usually these guys would be thrilled to meet him because now they get to leave. So, Joseph Moore heads up the shore. He goes up to the lighthouse. He goes inside. And that's when things get even more weird. There, not only is no one there, there was no sign of anything happening. Like, no foul play, no nothing. There was an overturned chair. There was a set of oil skins. That's like your day's raincoat, the raincoat of the day. Two oil skins were missing. And there was only one cold leather coat still hanging by the door. But the guys are gone. These guys are gone. So I know probably the first thing you're thinking is, must have been a storm. Now, we know there was a really killer storm already. And the east landing, there wasn't really much damage. But on the west landing, I want to make sure I'm right here. On the west landing was like decimated. It was destroyed. East landing, moderate damage. West landing, devastated. Now I'm trying to verify that I have the right landing. But even if that is the case, we know they went missing December 15th, and there is a log entry on December 15th that says the storm ended and the seas were calm. So that really makes it hard to, well, it's like, well, okay, it wasn't the storm. And then a lot, probably a rogue wave, because you don't exactly need a storm to have a rogue wave. But We're not talking about a lighthouse that's low to the ground. We're talking about something that's 200 feet in the middle of a 300 foot by 300 foot cliff face. So we're talking about one serious wave. And take all three of them. One guy is always supposed to be in there. So even if two guys were outside and they got washed away, the third guy going out there, I don't think you can get multiple rogue waves. That just doesn't make sense to me in the middle of the day. The storm is over. Another thing people have floated out there that could have happened is that possibly a, MacArthur maybe went nuts and killed the other two guys. Now, they had already been there well over when they were supposed to be relieved. And you get relieved after 4 weeks. So they'd been out there a while. And this guy, Douglas MacArthur, who's not even a actual lighthouse keeper, he's just the guy filling in. Now he's stuck out there. We know that he has, from what we understand, he had a little bit of a temper. But seriously, kills the two guys and kills himself. Well, where's his body? Even if, okay, so he threw himself off the cliff? If so, where are any of the bodies? They didn't wash ashore. They're missing everything. Every trace of them is gone. Like, they vanished without a single trace of where they could have been. Not a shoe, not a hat. Nothing. One theory that I think makes the most sense, but like the others, there's issues with it, is the fact that, it could have been a vortex, a strong wind pattern, that these guys were outside doing something. And there's no trees on this island. There's nothing slowing down the wind. If you get slammed with some wind out there, there's nothing to get behind. There's no slowing it down. It's strong. It's a very inhospitable place, and it is far away from everything. It's nearly impossible to get to. And maybe this vortex blew these guys off. Then the third guy, panicked, tried to help him. He ran out. And then it blew him over too. Well, so there were extreme wind for an extended amount of time, but he went outside anyway, or he didn't see it from some direction. It has holes in it. It can't explain every detail. And that is why this is one of my favorite mysteries, because for every single idea you come up with, there's something that can cause conjecture with it, that can cause holes to be put into your idea, and it's just so hard to find one explanation. What happened to these guys? What happened? The storm was over. They had made the last log December 15th on a slate, and whatever happened to them happened before they put that in the actual logbook. So at 9 a.m., December 15th was the last time these guys made any kind of written report on what was going on in that island. And that report said that the weather was good. And these guys are not people that aren't accustomed to storms either. James Duckett had done this for 22 years. Thomas Marshall did it for 5. Being caught in inhospitable, terrible storms is probably the places where they usually put lighthouses. These guys were not, unfamiliar with that kind of situation. They were extremely well prepared for that type of deployment. So it's like, we don't really have a issue where these guys would start to lose it. I don't believe that Donald MacArthur killed the other two. I don't believe that they lost their wits in the storm, because that's another theory, that they kind of lost it in the storm and they got so scared everything fell apart and they started killing each other. So I was like, no, these guys did storms a long time. So now we're to the part where it gets some really wild ideas. I'm not going to hit the big one that you're waiting for yet, because first I'm going to tell you that there's some stories about sea monsters. A sea monster came up, and that's how it got all the damage on the landing, and it took the three men. But remember, like, the inside, just like we can't say that it was MacArthur that killed him, there's no sign of foul play. It looks like one person got up, knocked their chair over, running out, and that was it. And all the clocks were stopped. But if they've been gone since the 15th, it's not really a surprise that the clocks had stopped, because back then you had to wind them up. They didn't run like today. You had to wind these things up if you wanted them to keep ticking. So that's not really a part of the myth. That's just something that would happen anyway, like the candles burning out. So it probably wasn't a sea monster. Whatever happened, happened quickly, and it happened abruptly and very, very unexpected. And it happened so fast that they had time to touch nothing. Time to touch nothing, change nothing. Barely time to realize that something had occurred that was beyond them. Could it have been aliens? Now, we do have reports of what they called the sky gods coming down to the islands. It did have a strange race of people called the Little People, which is, you know, like, think of them as like leprechauns. It was a place of holy communion for Saint Flannan. And, you know, if you're into those ancient astronaut theories and, you know, you think, oh, that wasn't really an angel, that was an alien kind of stuff, well, what did these guys see that made them drop everything and go outside? They were compelled to leave their posts and go out. Something compelled them. They saw something that was beyond their belief, beyond their understanding, and they all dropped everything and went outside. And whatever it was took them with them. What was it? We know there was not a trace of them ever seen again. James Duckett, Thomas Marshall, Donald MacArthur all disappeared without a reason or rhyme or any kind of explanation that anyone could ever put together. Now, when this happened, we didn't have the internet or anything of that sort of mass communication, but this still became a huge event This was huge news, and everyone knew about it. And there were so many theories. Everyone was wondering what happened to these guys. They couldn't figure it out then, and we still can't figure it out now. It's been 121 years. And we still have no idea what happened to James Duckett, Thomas Marshall, or Donald MacArthur, or what really happened on Eileen Moore, December 15th, 1900, off the west coast of Scotland in the Outer Hebrides. What happened out there in the North Sea? What happened out there? Where are these guys? Why is there no trace? Not one body, not one shoe, not one hat, not one explanation. So many ideas. Your imagination just begins to run wild. One thing is for sure. No one can agree on what happened to these three men. I know that I cannot reconcile all the holes in conjuncture with any of the theories put forward. Did they slip into a vortex in time? Did they see something and they went out there and like time took them? We've heard of this stuff, the man on the train. We've heard of these things happening. The man flying through the Bermuda Triangle got sucked into a time warp and ended up 400 miles in like 20 minutes. I may be off, but the point is, he got to a place he was supposed to be out of gas and he barely had used any fuel, and whatever put him through there was a time warp of something. Did these guys fall into something like this? Is that why this place draws such weird, almost this weird compiling with the religious aspect, with the natives being afraid to stay over there overnight, with these so-called little people? Is there something about the North Sea, this chain of islands, this last bit of land in the English Isles? Is there something about this place that we don't know? Did James Duckett, Thomas Marshall, and Donald MacArthur find something out? We'll probably never know. The man that Donald MacArthur was covering for, William Ross, who fell ill, forcing Donald MacArthur to take his job and go out there when he wasn't even supposed to be out there, when he disappeared with the other two. William Ross, he died. He dropped dead in that very same lighthouse. What is going on in Eileen Moore? What is going on with these disappearances? People disappearing out of nowhere. What happened? One thing's for sure. To this day, it remains unknown and unexplained. Thanks for listening. I am the original Dansky, and whatever you do, when you go in the dark, don't go alone.